Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show, The Apothecary, Season 4, Episode 15. They have to apothecary me out of here, right, Flippo?
Oh,
let's go. God.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh. The Fugees. Oh, this is what?
Oh, what is that?
He's holding the cup.
It's got to be beat adjacent. So, like, wherever the beat is, you want to be like close to it, but not on it.
Yeah,
because that'll ruin everything.
You're actually across the street from the beat.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz.
Hey,
after show.
What's up?
How you doing, folks? I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined as always by the lovely Julia Carley.
Hi, everybody, gentlemen.
And also by the master dancer himself, Joe Flippo.
You guys can check out the videos online. Log on. It's fantastic stuff.
He's got a bunch of dance, instructional dance videos he has. Overbite.com.
you can also get there with at over6foothavingaseizure.com.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. If anyone found us live, we're doing the Blacklist. We're also going to get into, on a later feed, we'll do the Blacklist Redemption. But in the meantime, we got a lot of Blacklist business to cover. The Apothecary. He's number 59, this guy. So he's pretty high up.
You have to apothecary me out of here. Can we address that?
You know,
because you were so proud of yourself.
You know who my favorite actor is?
I bet you can tell us.
Apothecary Grant.
Oh!
You know? Not to be underdone by Apothecary Fisher.
Oh, no!
Who I love too.
To apothecary me home?
Yes, all right. Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, so the apothecary. Jeff, can you give me the Webster's definition of an apothecary?
I can give you my version of an apothecary. Usually refers to an older European thing. You apothecary was someone who combined herbs and various things together to give you medicines that might help you out without being able to go to a real drugstore because we didn't have real stuff. So apothecary would grind up some shit.
Pestle mortar style.
Yeah,
have you pestle never seen Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
He gets all the stuff from the apothecary.
Where else are you going to get it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Your drugs are quick.
Oh.
Any apothecary, that's an up and down thing, you know.
Sorry.
For a long time there were people in Europe that were apothecaries in you know, and then they were deemed witches and then they were, you know, not apothecaries for a while and then they came back.
All right. Well, there you go.
And you stop burning people, they tend to come back to their jobs.
Well, then this is the apothecary. This is a I thought pretty a good. I think that was a well constructed episode in terms of like the way they did the storytelling. Very much like sort of a interesting, almost. What's the Christopher Nolan one? Memento.
It's like Memento / Clue.
Yeah, Memento / Clue or Memento / like the idea of like we're trying to solve this mystery that already happened. We're working our way back towards the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have the memory loss element in there like Memento did, which is, I don't understand how whatever he got made him lose his entire memory. That was weird too. It's actually Memento meets Finding Dory meets meets something. I don't know. I just thought anyway, good episode. So spoiler alert, but say it isn't so.
Can't be.
I mean, I'm not totally shocked, but shocked.
But wait, except it doesn't make any sense. Are we going to get into it already?
Let's get into it already. We can work backwards, right, too, like they did.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question. Now, just from purely logistical standpoint here.
Yes.
What is in it for Dembe to poison him instead of just hit him on the head with a stick?
Well,
I mean, Dembe's standing behind him pouring the scotch.
He also, though, you have to remember, Dembe dropped him off at the doctor. He called the doctor.
That's what I'm saying.
He dropped him off at the
doctor.
He didn't leave until the doctor
until the
said
doctor
he was
takes
stable.
Him. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And then he leaves.
Something else going on.
So I don't think he wanted him to die.
No.
I think he figured that he wouldn't die.
But what's the point?
He could have died.
Like about a dozen times.
That's one of those elaborate plans that like you lay all out. Like you see, like, you know,
right, everything has to fall exactly right for this to work.
You see, like, you know, there'll be like a car crash and a plane crash and a guy gets out. It's like, just according to my plan.
Right?
It's like, really? You think they'd survive the plane crash? It's the same thing here. It's like, there's so many ways Red could have died along the way. So I don't know.
He wanted him to die. He probably wants him to follow him, to find him. And Mr. Kaplan. Who's in on this?
I mean, this seems to be the obvious thing, but is this really the thing?
I don't know, man. I don't know. What I didn't understand, like, number one, obviously, if Dembe wanted to kill him, he could have killed him about a million times.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's Dembe. There's no one with more access. So why make it look like a poisoning? There's zero point to that because...
Why he straight up poisoned him.
Yeah, but I mean... Okay, here's the thing. So if you're going to go to all the lengths of using the apothecary, I mean, you can poison a dude with a million different things that are going to hit you right away. The apothecary's whole deal is that it can be under the radar, right? It can be sneaky.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, but who are you going to fool? You're not going
to
fool.
Maybe he did it to protect him, to take him out for a little bit.
You think it was like a you need to sit down and chill for a second, some stuff's going on over here?
Because I don't believe that Dembe is the one who hacked into his account and got all that money that sort of is lost in the ether, / Isabella Stone and killing the people that he's worked with. I don't think that's him. I think he knows who it is, Mr. Kaplan, and he had to get him out of the way for a minute, and now he probably wants him to follow him.
So do you think that the idea was that maybe...
It's convoluted, but I don't think he meant to harm him. I think in some way this was to protect him.
It doesn't make much sense to me. And the bottle business is sloppy as hell. Like put the name tag on the bottle. Love Marvin. Hey, go get Marvin. Like, that is so blunt. Like, that's such a blunt instrument.
Marvin really sent him the bottle.
Yeah, no, Marvin sent the bottle.
Yeah, oh, that came from Marvin.
Yeah, no, he said it because he was...
So the bottle had nothing to do with anything at any point. I thought it was a red herring.
No, there's no poison in the bottle.
No.
This
is why Red thought it had to be Marvin, because he was, A, the only one not there. Well, let's get it. Let's sort of attack.
I thought they set the bottle up as the way to I got it. Just hack 'em stance for Marvin.
No, it's a red herring for us, the audience, that
but not
Boca
for,
can't put in there.
Got you. But not
for the actual Blacklist universe. So... So the episode opens where we see they did a cool thing where they sort of see Red starting this meeting, right? This meeting which we now know.
Well, he's going to the meeting. He's going to have scotch first
and discuss the
scotch. Scotch.
And then now what does Dembe ask at the top of that? Did he say, "Are you sure this is a good idea?" Isn't Dembe questioning the wisdom of having this meeting,
of bringing everybody together,
bring everyone together? Mm-hmm. Like, he seems to be, is this a clue that Dembe is like not sure about Red's judgment?
Like, well, he hasn't been sure about Red's judgment for a while.
I mean, could it have been like, are you sure you want to do this? And then, like, if he said yeah, then okay, I'll poison you. Like,
doesn't make much sense. Does it?
I don't know. So Dembe seems to question, you know, if that happened. And I mean, if this should happen, Red says, like, we're going to do it. He goes to the meeting, and then we cut to 9 hours later, where he is jacked up, not remembering anything.
Yeah.
Very memento. Like, where am I? What just happened? What's happening? And it seems... this is what I understand. Is it this poison that it just wipes out your memory? This is the thing.
Well, each poison is different. It's tailor-made to whatever your whatever your medical history is, the things that you're allergic to. Which I was kind of excited. I thought, ooh, are we going to find out something about Red's history, medical history? Is there some disease? Is there, like, who is this guy? But that just didn't really seem to pan out.
Well, it's there somewhere. They could bring it back. I mean,
that information? Because that's another thing that further makes it so personal is, in order to be able to tailor make this poison for Red, you have to know his personal history. And so
a handful of couple people that know that.
Kaplan Dembe. And Dembe, maybe, right?
It's a tough scene. I don't know, it's convoluted and a little tricky, but I don't know that, well, you know, hopefully they're going to pay it off in some way that makes sense, because right now I don't see it landing in a way that makes any sense, unless they just abandon a whole bunch of plot points.
The construction episode is we find him 9 hours later, he finds out he's in the care of the hospital, the doctor says you're poisoned, you have a couple days at best to live. He's like, oh crap, he calls the post office and is like, I'm dying, which is like a great way to start episode, you know. He goes in, he looks like crap, he's saying like, this is what's happened to me.
Yes, I believed him. I believed that Spader.
I believed him too. That mother effer.
He can do some acting.
He was so disheveled.
Acting thing so well.
He's acting his eyes. I mean, I thought he was dead. I'm like, is Spader going to make it? Is he really sick? I'm Googling Spader sick.
And he did some research, obviously, because like, you take that many steroids, you're going to get the twitchy twitches.
Yeah.
And you're going to get I mean, that was... Are you the popping all that and the inhaler and the whole thing? Every one of those will get you.
You should know.
I do know. I got asthmatical.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. I am.
I've never seen you with an inhaler.
I don't use one. I have I'm well controlled with Singulair.
There it is. Now you know, folks.
But But it's but if you hit those things a couple times, they're getting everything going. You're like, oh
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. In the chat room, we want to say hello to our folks over here: Cassandra Sellers, Watson Keane, Jenny D, of course, Golden Toe, who said I was looking like I was doing something else when I was doing the Pestle and Mortar. I don't know if I've been.
Oh, sorry. What was that?
I don't know. I do. And all the folks are watching. We appreciate
Ham
you all.
Hawk comes to mind.
Yeah.
Different show.
Throwback from a different show. Anyway, yeah, so that was a great acting job by Spader. I believed him. So then he and the post office go on a trail to begin to find out where, and what was the first lead that they had?
Ilario Panetti.
Right.
Who was like a mobster kind of guy.
Yeah.
And the Panetti Syndicate, favorite word. The Panetti, the Syndicate. They love the word syndicate on this show.
There's a lot of syndicates.
Oh my God! Mario Panetti of the Panetti Syndicate.
Yeah. Oh, that one!
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Of the Panetti Syndicate.
He's Italian, isn't he? Goddamn Italians! I resent that shit.
All right.
Where's your syndicate, Flip?
Yeah, dude, we're syndicate free over here.
The Flip Syndicate.
This is bullshit. We're screwing it up.
Yeah.
We should start our own syndicate.
We can. I don't think Flip will let me in his syndicate, though.
No.
Italians and blacks don't get along.
No. We respect each other, but he's not like, he can't be family.
Yeah, exactly.
I've read the stories. I know what goes on.
Yeah, I saw what happened to Sam Jackson in Goodfellas. I don't want that to happen to me. I know you guys operate.
I forget about him in that movie. He's great.
You forget about him. I didn't forget about him. It's only black movie over here. Something black. Of course, you forgot about him. Oh, yeah, that guy. Whatever happened to old Sticks? Stacks, whatever his name was.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Moving on.
So
Ilario Panetti.
Panetti.
The Panetti Syndicate.
And then what happens? Like, I can't believe they find the thing.
Well, Panetti, right, the deal was, the original thought was that Helen, remember, because Helen had gotten...
Helen was the accountant.
Was the accountant in the coma. So they were looking for similar cases, and they found...
She was going to testify against him.
That's right. And then that's how they got...
That's how they found Helen.
Right. That's how they got Helen.
Helen Dolly.
And Helen's in the coma.
Yes.
And her parents are sitting outside. The billionaire's just kicking it. No one thinks to look and see what's up with the parents.
Nope.
The husband's kicking it, too. Oh, but I just had to go to Saratoga Springs, you know? How I just go... I had to have a thinky-think.
I had to have a thinky-think.
Because
their
10-year
anniversary was coming up.
What did you call him? What did you come up with a name for the husband? You just called him Stupid Husband.
Oh, I just called him Stupid Husband.
Okay. Stupid Husband. That is his new term. Stupid Husband.
All the husbands in this were stupid.
Taking a bath?
All the husbands were asshole in this.
Is this guy taking a bath?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
But first he went to Sarasota?
Yeah, Saratoga Springs.
Whatever it is.
He has great baths. I mean, that's a great bath.
That was a great bath.
I gotta tell
you. Very Tuscan Villa style.
Yeah.
It's kind of out, though. I prefer the white marble these
days. That's the new thing, yeah. That's the new thing.
So we do get a little dated an early look at the apothecary when he's tending to his wife and wiping tears and making sure that she's... in one place early on. We don't know what it means, but we don't know. At first, I thought that she has some sort of disease that he's tending to or curing, and I thought that maybe he's gathering all this information from
to cure her.
Uh-huh. But that's already been a plot line.
Yeah, we've
seen that one already. Yeah. So it couldn't be that.
That dog won't.
So the idea of him, doing the whole I'm keeping her safe and alive while our baby cooks.
Oof.
Ugh.
Oof.
This guy was creepy. The apothecary was kind of creepy, actually.
Well,
I kind of liked it.
In his moment, in his weird sort of...
Jamie Harold, is that his name?
I think so. In his weird Hannibal Lecter moment in interrogation, he's like... I want immunity because we have a baby.
I want something to live for.
Yeah.
We'll, even from a jail cell, we'll be a family.
Oof. Oof. In the, I don't have much patience for the reptile scene at all.
I don't mind snakes.
Do you really
snakes,
not?
No. Spiders, out. I'll run for the friggin' hills.
I do want to talk back about that scene where your boy in the tub, in the bathtub.
Stupid husband.
Gets up like, yo... And Liz is like, if you want to...
Take your perp walk like that.
If you want to put that thing away.
Clearly, Liz had some thoughts about what he was packing. She was not impressed.
Not impressed.
Didn't even blink.
No, not a thing.
That ain't no Tom.
That's right.
Tom or bust.
We know Tom wears a cardigan, but he's... that cardigan is well anchored.
That's right.
It's not great going nowhere in a windstorm.
Oh, man. He's not... I got a ton of jokes I can't even think of. Anyway, so I can't say. So he gets up. Liz's not impressed. I don't know. Wrestler wasn't impressed either, by the way.
Well, you know, Ressler just got done shaving, so I mean, I'm not sure if he'd had time to think about somebody else's.
I feel like that. I don't want to spend too much time getting to all of the because I feel like it's almost moot all of the explicit details of how they got to where we are, which is like the, sort of the last 15 minutes of the thing. Yeah. I just feel like it was a lot of sort of filler, a lot of leading us along.
Yeah, the whole Ilario Panetti thing just kind of pissed me off. It was just a lot of work for zero payoff.
But I liked it. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you guys. Yeah. I was in. I felt like it was good pace. I felt like they were. I feel like the
you're okay with the Panetti syndicate.
Oddly enough, I know. Who'd have thought?
You're Italian.
Those Dagos are okay with
Italian.
It. But I thought that the way they handle it was okay, and I liked that the husband is a dumbass. There were things I was kind of like cringing over, like how come no one looked at the husband to start with until they talked to the mobster first, and you know, and then I love how time in this show is always such a rude. Well, we got to get to Philadelphia. How long does that take?
I don't know.
7 minutes.
Yeah.
Great. DC to Philly, 7 minutes. I'm not sure.
Well, I was thinking about it. I really hope that we have some sort of task force on the West Coast out here, because everything seems to be happening over there. That's highly concentrated. All these bad guys.
I'm
what's
not
happening
lie to you.
Over here? Who's taking care of
who's
it
taking
here?
Care of the black guys in
they
Ventura
never leave
County?
These
I'm choosing to believe we just don't have them. Because the, you know that's
there's
got to
be a blacklister like in Sherman Oaks or in
you think there's one kicking in Encino?
Someone's
got to be
Virginia,
yeah.
New York. It's all right there.
Maybe somebody south of the Boulevard's got a nice
there's,
spread.
There's,
no one would
there's
ever
a blacklister in Torrance, waiting.
My God,
in the South Bay, waiting to be caught by Ressler and Navavi. Someone's got to bust through.
You got that Glendora guy. That's
yes.
You know,
Glendora.
The Glendora blacklist.
He's at the Lama Mall. 1057
He's at the Lama Mall.
He's at the Lama Mall now. Blacklister, number 75. He's at Sephora.
No, I tell you, he's going by Sunglass Hut after this. Keep an eye on him. A fool can't be trusted.
Where are the blacklisters in the West Coast?
You guys, you know what? You make a good point. What the hell, Bokenkamp? We're all out here very lonely in the sunshine.
We're lonely and scared.
I know D.C. And New York are power structures in the country, but, you know, L.A.
We're pretty big. A lot of money.
Got to be some blacklisters.
Got to be
some. So the Valley, San Francisco, there's no blacklisters up in San Francisco?
Nobody's up in the Bay? Like, there's no Oakland blacklister? Right. There's no... what? That doesn't make any sense. You're right. I hear you.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
Have we read a black blacklister?
I think we have. By Matthias.
Solomon.
Solomon. That's right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a problem. Oakland, I thought, like, yeah, there'd be... Wait. There'd
I'm
be
thinking gentrifying. Oakland's gentrifying. The whole thing's flipping. It's getting exciting over there.
There's a different show. What are we doing?
The blacklist.
The black.
Anyways, back to the blacklist, gentlemen.
Let's go through every city. Why aren't there blacklisters in Seattle?
What about Houston?
What about Minnesota?
Silicon Valley? Anyone?
St. Paul? Does anyone have one in St. Paul?
You know, they have a lovely... Okay, sorry.
The coldest blacklister of all.
Back to this. So, Red, who is dying, goes and he finds his girl, Lulu.
Now,
tell me about Lulu.
I'm not going to tell you. Julie is going to tell you about Lulu. But I got to say, Lulu... Awfully convenient, that Lulu. I'm just saying.
In what way?
Awfully convenient.
To the story?
To the story, or to Red in general. Like, I get into the house. There happens to be someone in the trunk who's totally cool with, like, Alice in Wonderland leading me down the... I don't know about Lulu. I think we're going to see Lulu again. I think Lulu's going to pop back up and be like, I was part of this whole scene. I was planted in the trunk.
Planted by Dembe.
Dembe's secret sister.
Long-lost sister.
And that I may have that plot point in my head because I thought her name was Ulu. And I clearly have no
Ulu,
idea.
Ulu, she's from Africa. Ulu. I'm like, no, she's just black. Jeff. Really? Her name's like Ulu? I thought it was Ulu.
I really thought it was Ulu.
No, it was Lulu.
I thought you thought so, too.
I don't know.
I think you and I both said Ulu, and Julie was like, nah, Lulu.
Yeah.
But,
oh, my God.
But anyway, I think she's in on this whole thing.
That's interesting.
That's my take on Lulu.
I like
she
Lulu.
Was very she was very sweet. Well, if so,
I liked the Lulu and Red sort of.
This you know, also reminds me
game.
Of.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Did you ever see the game? The Sean Penn
Michael Douglas
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, is this part of the game or not? And it seemed like at every given point of the game, there's people sort of helping him along, guiding him. Like he's on guardrails, right? He feels like he's free, but kind of on guardrails through the game. This is like that. Like just when Red is about to do something else, Lulu shows up.
Make
sure he doesn't die, gives him a little stuff, and then make sure that he's on the right direction. Because
I mean, for anything, how did she get the steroids in him? Like, she took him to the drugstore,
yeah.
Right? And he's out, right? And how do you... I don't How do you get steroids down someone's gullet?
Crush them up and put them in their ice cream.
How'd Red die? Well, she had a gallon of ice cream. She was just shoving down his throat.
I'm like, Eric Curly, don't eat the ice cream. Note to Eric Curly, alert, alert.
No ice cream, Eric.
No ice cream.
There are stupid husbands everywhere. So be on guard, gentlemen.
Text Eric right away.
Be on guard.
Tell them to remove all the ice cream from the freezer.
Oh, I think she's got a much better chance of getting Eric with some smoked meats.
Just that's true.
All she's got to do is to put something in his smoker and he's toast.
That's true. Anyway.
Man in his smoker.
Okay. Too many inside jokes for us.
I know,
okay,
I'm
so we're back. We're back. That's an interesting thing. So you think Lulu is part of the whole plan?
Could be.
I like that. I like that because, like I said, I think Dembe did this, but I think he was protecting him.
Right.
Okay.
I think he wants someone to lead him.
So we're on that. We're kind of all landing on that kick where, like, there's the that Dembe set up this whole poison and almost kill Red thing with the hopes that these 47. These 47 dominoes are all going to fall exactly the right way, and no one's going to die, and it's going to all line up.
Yes.
Okay.
So, what leads Red back to? I'm asking you guys. I mean, I think I can't remember. What leads Red back to the room where it happened?
Lulu.
The room where it happened.
Lulu.
Sorry. No more Hamilton.
Lulu.
We're a little loopy, folks. I apologize.
Go ahead.
It was Lulu that took him back to the restaurant.
There was the phone message. So Lulu stumbled upon Red because they were at Marvin Gerard's
apartment. Across the street.
Right.
Yes, across the hall. So they go there, checks his messages, and there's a message from Red saying, dude, where are you at dinner? We're all at John's.
Oh,
see, so
right.
Lulu was like, oh, John's, I can take you there.
Yeah,
I know where that is.
You're on something, Flippo, because there's a lot of connective tissue here. There's a lot of, like, leading Red by the hand through this. It makes him feel like he's investigating his own thing, but maybe he's being led the whole way through.
I don't know.
I think that's great.
Because Lulu, without Lulu, then, yeah, he's
dead in the water.
Yeah, he's literally he's dead. But Lulu's like, oh, it just so happens, and it just so happens I can save you, and it just so happens I thought you were going to kill me, but I'm going to save you because I'm nice.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just so happens I'll take you here. Lulu, she's at the center of everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it just seems awfully convenient. Lulu
like
is
it.
A very convenient little person
totally
to be there.
Totally into that. So then he leaves her behind, says our time together has been great.
Right.
And then he goes to John's where he sees the empty dinner table.
I gotta tell you,
the coat rack through the
10 people kicking it in the kitchen for 9 hours. I don't know. They look pretty good, all things considered.
I have a question though.
Yes.
Why did he lock them in the kitchen?
I don't know. We haven't gotten there
yet.
Why
was that a thing?
Yeah.
I don't think we figured that out. I think that all we know really is he was giving the speech.
Walk me through this dinner. He's giving the speech.
So he's giving the speech, and he's doing the Al Capone at dinner speech.
Yes.
With the baseball bat, but he
baseball.
Doesn't have the bat.
America's right. pastime.
Bang. So he's giving the Al Capone speech, and he's talking about the what
as
you call
as he loves to do, they say.
As he does. And everybody's getting kind of pissed off that he's giving the talk, but whatever, we'll all pretend to tolerate it. And then he does the Judas thing, that Marvin's not here, maybe our Judas didn't show up to dinner, and this Last Supper, which is very heavy-handed, I thought, for the writing, but, you know. But
right.
And then it basically cuts from that to we accept that somehow or another he got everybody into the kitchen.
Yes.
So how do they get everybody into the kitchen? We never really established that. I'm assuming Dembe had to be involved because Red just telling everybody get in the kitchen seems a little. I mean, maybe they would. I don't know. But
why?
But why exactly? So maybe the idea was Marvin wasn't here. Do you think it was maybe that was a thought? Marvin's not here. You all stay in the kitchen where I know where you're at. You're locked in. I'm gonna go figure out Marvin, and then I'll have all you where I need you to be. So I can get to the bottom of this?
Maybe.
Does that make any sense? Does that track?
Maybe
he's starting to get sick.
He's starting to get a little crazy.
And he's like, something's off here. Everybody in the kitchen because something's weird.
Maybe that's it.
And they locked him in. He's like, now I'm going to figure this out.
Ka-donk.
Yeah.
Might be.
That's
but it. No, but he clearly had to be up and running to get to Marvin's house, right? Because that's where Lulu met him at the apartment.
Well, that's right. He didn't pass out, but he was getting goofy.
Okay.
He's getting goofy.
And Dembe knows this is happening, so he aids him in doing this because he doesn't
bets,
want
the goofiness.
People to see.
Right, so we kidnap, so we go and we establish that Marvin has bounced. We figure out where Marvin's going-ish, right?
Who was all in that room? I feel like there's people missing in that room. Like, Glenn wasn't in that room, right?
Well, Glenn's not one of the 11 that would have access.
Oh, okay, got it. He's a separate player. So have we seen, aside from my man Abe with the cool mustache,
yeah.
the hipster mustache.
There was
Brian
the other guy
Stokes
that was
Mitchell,
in,
my favorite.
And the other guy we just met.
Well, there was a guy in front. I think we've seen him before. I just don't remember what episode it was in.
And what about the hot sort of you know?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen her before.
I don't know what kind of brown she is, but she's, she's the hot guy, and I tell you that much. Nothing politically correct, Braswell here. She's the hot kind of brown. You know what I'm saying, Flabo?
I want to be clear about which Joe was saying these things. It is not the goofy white one.
Indian.
Right. Oh, Jesus.
Okay. All right. Yes. All right. Dial it back.
But she was the one in the red dress. She was lovely, and but I don't think we'd seen her before.
No, I don't think so either. I only recognize Brian Stokes, Mitchell, and Abe.
I think that's right.
Yes. Okay, so this is the group. Locks them in. Gives the speech. Pulls out the thing. They're all like, pissed
what the hell?
At him.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, what happened? Which is weird. So they begin to talk it all out and figure it all out. The only one missing is our guy
Marvin,
who we have seen before. We've seen him many times before. In fact, he was a blacklister at one point during the fugitive times.
Yeah,
yeah, because they had to go. Didn't they have to break him out of prison.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
that was a fun episode when they were all locked in the diner.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's good. So he's extremely seemingly loyal to Red because Red's not only taking care of him and broke him out of prison and done everything else. There's no reason for him to betray Red. So, he missing. Not only is he missing, it's the wine. The post office tells him that the poison had to be delivered in alcohol because
higher alcohol content
to be able to hide the
because of the molecular structure.
Help me out here.
I don't know if it had anything to do with hiding or just so much as the molecular structure was only going to be stable in a high alcohol content
stable
liquid.
So you put in the thing and it stays stable.
Because of the alcohol kind of... I'm no chemist.
Whatever. It was in the scotch, guys.
That's exactly right. The rest of it is immaterial. It was in the goddamn scotch.
Right. All right. Sorry. I just got to...
You be all right?
Yes, good.
How are we doing over there?
Sorry, fine.
We're doing a show.
It's like that time you were ordering pizza.
Pepperoni.
Here's what I want to say about this episode. I want to say one thing about Mr. Spader. Mr. Spader was spadering his ass off in this episode.
Super spadering.
He spadered the shit out of this episode.
For sure.
And it's one of those episodes, and it was kind of an interesting choice for them to follow up with Redemption afterwards, because I get why they did it, obviously. You get the lead in, you got the whole thing. But if you ever wanted to draw a contrast between Blacklist with Spader and Blacklist without Spader, it's like decaf coffee versus the real thing. Like, dude.
What's the point?
You know what I mean? What was the point of this? I drank some hot liquid this morning. I didn't feel anything. Like Blacklist with Spader, killing it. He's killing it. And if the show takes, if there's like plot points that are weaker, or if there's times when there's certain actresses that irritate the piss out of everybody else.
Old Dead Eyes.
Well, he's there.
Fine, but I do think this is really... If they've gone a long way to do this, starting with the moment he shot Mr. Kaplan. But I've mentioned this before, I like this arc where they're, sort of spiraling Red down into this dark place where he's alone and have to really, really do some soul searching to figure out what's motivating him. Obviously, it's Spagnus, and we knew it was Liz. Now there's not just a Liz, there's a Spagnus. And now that Liz and Spagnus are seemingly safe, and everything's fine, and then what is Red out there? What's motivating him? And then the fact that the people who are closest to him, namely Kaplan, who he shot, and Dembe, Dembe's been warning him, you are going down a path here. You don't seem to care about anything. So I like the idea of this sort of Spader or the of Red unraveling. I think this is it. This is the rock bottomest of the rock bottom. Now, is this a big... I want to get into, motivations for Dembe, because at the end of this, once they figure out it's the scotch and he has that great interrogation, which I thought was a great interrogation scene with Marvin. And before that, the one guy was like, don't give me another one of your parables.
Oh, yeah. God. Please. Say, if you even think about another parable, I might strangle you myself.
That was great.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
Parable's great.
When I was in Mozambique.
No! No! So we went back to... So when he realizes it's Dembe, the only people that have access to this guy are two people. That...
The heartbreak was so incredibly delivered to us. It broke my heart. And considering
broke my heart.
His entire... He has one... As far as he knows, he has one day left on Earth.
Yeah.
And all he wants to do is find his Dembe.
Yeah.
That's all he's going to do with his time left on Earth is Dembe. Make sure he's okay.
And then
to find out that he's been betrayed, or so he thinks.
And I love the whole thing where, how many times throughout the episode is it, nah, that's not a possibility. Yeah. Can't be.
No. I mean, it's off the table. But then, even then, but that whole, that as Jody wrote, like the heavy whisper, it can't be.
It can't be.
And I was like, oh no.
Oh God, it is.
And then they go to, as everyone's mentioned here, we go to a Luke Cagey looking Dembe walking through, flipping the hoodie, going in the subway, presumably in hiding.
I'm not going to lie to you. Flipping the hoodie's a tricky move. I bet they had a few takes where he flipped that hoodie right over his eyes and, oh, shit. That's a tough move to pull off, because you could overflip the hoodie and then you just look stupid. You don't look cool at all.
They just went to the hoodie expert, Liz Keen.
Liz Keen! No one wears a hoodie like Liz Keen.
They're like, how do you get the hoodie flipped just right, Lizzie Keen?
How do you do it?
Anyway.
Listen, we've learned a lot. We've learned that Lizzie Keen, when she wears a hoodie, she disappears. And when she wears glasses, she changes to a completely different person.
I've also learned if you're a tech geek going undercover, just wear a beanie.
That's it.
All right,
done.
So let's go to some predictions here. And because
I have one thing I want to say though. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, do it.
Was anyone a little about Lizzie Keene being choked up over Red?
Was she choked up?
Oh, she was like in tears.
When? That's what I was going to ask. Like, I didn't see much of a response from her.
Well,
I just saw your note. No, I thought she was, like, she was really concerned, and she was, like, in tears.
Well, there's two... Well,
I missed it, then.
I'll tell you why you missed it. Because the acting was terrible.
Oh! You're not supposed to say that!
You're supposed
to say something on my... The moment may have been lost. I wonder if there wasn't, like... I just don't... Maybe something didn't make the cut.
I kid you, Megan Boone. No, I think that... Yeah, I... This is what you're getting at, Jules. What you're getting at is... There is a moment... There's two things here. The first part of that is, yes... It's questionable that Lizzie Keen, the character, all of a sudden is so choked up. But I thought it was very sweet that, like, no, Red's dying. We got to save him. I thought that was kind of sweet. But the way that was portrayed to us as an audience, I didn't quite buy it. I'm not sure that was a screenplay.
I just didn't understand where it was coming from.
It's coming from the fact that she cares about Red and all of her bluster, all of her, Lizzie, all that stuff didn't matter. Because she really cares about him.
God, next episode she'll be back too. I don't care if he'll ever die, Red.
There was a bit of a lip quiver. There was a bit of a chin something.
I must have looked away from the screen.
Chin. We all know that.
Where was this?
Huh?
What scene was it?
Hospital scenes.
She got choked up.
She did. Maybe when it was the scene when Aram was there, or maybe it was the end. I don't know.
You can't recognize sorrow. Remorse and regret.
I'm a voiceover actor. I don't know. I don't think that counts anymore.
You're an actor.
I don't know. I must have looked away.
Maybe it's the art of subtle acting.
She's so subtle. Almost like it's not happening.
I can't tell she's acting at all.
All right. Oh, and then Andrew reminded us of the wonderful bouquet, the edible. What do you call the edible bouquet?
Edible arrangements.
Who doesn't love papaya?
Edible arrangements. Thank you, Andrew, for reminding that.
I brought Mr. Reddington some papaya. I've known him for four seasons, but I can't call him Red. I still call him Mr. Reddington.
That's a show of respect. I love Aram so much. You're my favorite. Now his concern was palpable. I felt it.
Oh, and can't die.
He can't die.
No one said that. No.
Red can't die. He's invincible. I was like, oh, Ron, you're so sweet.
He was very sweet. And Lizzie was like, yeah, he can't die.
For those of you listening on the podcast, Joe's face has gone remarkably blank. Almost as if someone removed all the nerves from his face and it just went slack.
As though his eyes were dead.
And they're just like, cut. Megan, can we?
I sense you're doing
you're
something.
Sad. No, Jesus. I am sad.
No, we gotta stop. That's enough. We gotta stop. We're gonna get in trouble. That's enough.
I'm too. Okay, so let's go to predictions. That's too much. And
now, yes.
Sorry.
You started it.
I didn't start it. I was just wondering why she was so concerned all of a sudden in tears. That was it. You guys went off the rails from there.
We got a couple minutes. I want to get to, because this is serious, like, what the F is going on? Like, I want, and you guys actually out there, Andrew, Golden Toe, Ginny, Annapurna, Saha, and Telly, Tully Bondage is in. Watson King.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the name. I want to know what your theories are. Again, you guys are kind of talking about them on this whole thing. What is Dembe doing? Is Dembe and Mr. Kaplan? But why? Why, Joe? Why is Dembe doing this? First of all, did Dembe do it? If so, why? And if so, who's he working with?
Okay, so I got. Here's my theory. My theory is that Lulu is a plant. Lulu is okay. Too convenient.
I like it.
So,
I like
it. So I believe that Lulu's there on purpose. But if
what's her African name?
Ulu.
Ulu.
You thought the same thing. That's not fair. You can't put it all on me. You said the same shit.
Go ahead.
Julia said Lulu. We both went, what?
It's Ulu. Lulu's her American name. We'll find out later that she's, it's really Ulu.
I hate you so much. Dembe's
sister.
I'm
sorry. Go.
So Lulu, I think Lulu's a plant. I think, but if Lulu's a plant, that means Dembe's in on the whole thing. Dembe planned the whole thing, which means Dembe knows exactly what this poison's going to do, which brings us to that place where like a million dominoes have to fall just right for this to work, right?
Yeah.
So it's the blacklist. That happens all the time.
Right. So now the other way that could have gone is that Dembe realizes that Red's been poisoned, realizes it was probably him that gave it to him in the scotch. Maybe there was a step we missed in there.
Aha!
And then brings Lulu in as the plant to help him, and he has to duck out because he knows something else is going on.
Like, oh my God.
Because he knows he's going to be blamed
Red's
for it.
Red's going to think it's me. I've got to go get proof.
I've got to go duck out and get proof. Maybe. I don't know. Those are my two thoughts.
But you lose Red to die when I go get proof. Red will be fine. I'm going to go get proof.
I'm not right. saying that I have good plans.
I know. I like that. Julia, go.
I love the Lulu. I love that theory that she's a plant. I absolutely love it. I think that's genius. I'm going to give that one to you. I'm impressed with you.
Thank you.
That does not come out of my mouth easily towards you.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Right.
Scorn is much easier.
I think he was doing it to protect him for some reason. I think he probably knows that Kaplan is behind all the other things that we've been seeing. Maybe he had to protect him from saying that to the rest of those 11 people because then they'll know that he tried to kill Kaplan. They'll all know that he killed Kaplan.
Right. Ooh, because they don't know that he did that?
They don't know that he did that, so maybe he had to stop that, or stop them from finding out, because they would have found out eventually that who's left, only Mr. Kaplan, she's dead. Or they, you know, they'll find out in some way. So I think he had to do it to protect him. And now he's on the hunt for Kaplan.
I like that. I like that theory. I think I agree. I think and people are saying that here too. Ginny says he did to protect him as his Golden Toe. I like this protection. Dembe is trying to save Red from himself by doing all this. I do like that. Golden Toe 3. And Ginny agrees. Dembe's following the orders of Red. I don't think Dembe was. I don't think it was Dembe less to find Mr. Kaplan the strings. Unless we find Mr. Kaplan's pulling the strings all along. Okay. Still hoping that evil real Masha is out there and behind everything. What about Masha?
Masha.
Oh, Katerina?
Yeah, Katerina.
Oh,
sorry.
Katerina.
Yeah.
Oh, Masha's. Yeah, Masha's.
Masha's Liz.
Liz.
Oh, and then or Miss and then
Masha's Russian for Deadeyes. I don't know if you knew that.
Yep, got it. So yeah, I agree that. But I agree that this in some way Dembe is trying to protect him. Dembe's been too loyal for too long to just flip on a dime and decide, I'm going to kill Red now.
He's concerned
about
him.
And if you're
going
to kill Red, there's a lot of easier ways to do it. You have proximity to him. You just pop in the head.
Yeah, I mean, why
in any given moment, you have to go through the great lengths of some special, specific poison.
Why go through that bullshit? You can poison him with anything.
All of his special vitals to keep it in the scotch. Yeah. None of that's Dembe. But, got you. But what's interesting is, if it is done to protect him, it'll be the same motives that actually Mr. Kaplan had. Mr. Kaplan's like, I was trying
to protect you from yourself
and Liz, and which is kind of Dembe, because kind of preaching to the choir for Dembe. He's like, yeah, he needs to be protected from himself, so maybe Dembe's doing the same thing. And maybe only the combination of Kaplan and Dembe coming together saying, we did this, look at yourself, Red. We had to kill, we had to fake a death and almost kill you to get you to see what's happening. And they'll say, you're right, guys. It reminds me of the time in Mozambique.
And God damn it, Red.
We're going to get out of here. I think that's all we got for the guys for today. You have anything else? You're going to say something?
No, let's wrap it up.
Well, where can the kids
find you? On the Twitter's Joe Filippo, JOEFLIPO.
And who are you, Liz?
Yeah. I'm Liz. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY. And here for Bates Motel and Redemption.
That's right. Hashtag hoodie. I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me here. at on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell, also doing Bates Motel and Redemption, which we will do.
You guys are in the chat room. Stay with us.
Yeah, if you guys are in the chat room, we're going to do Redemption right now. If you guys want to hang out, if you guys watch that, all you folks, Jenny D and Anna Poroha and Martin and Golden Tone, all you folks. In the meanwhile, thank you guys for listening on iTunes and watching on YouTube, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Woo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.